Welcome to another special election edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault, and we're very pleased to have with us on the line today via Zoom, Ontario Progressive Conservative candidate for the riding of Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lake, Steve Clark. Mr. Clark, welcome back to Lake 88.
Bob, thanks. Thanks so much. And thanks for all the great work you've done over the years. I really enjoyed coming on the program and making sure people in Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes knew what was happening at the provincial level. So great job.
Well, you're very welcome. And it has been a while. Normally, this is when we get to know the candidate, but you're looking for your fifth term, correct?
Yeah, I was originally elected in 2010 in a by-election when Bob Runciman became a senator under Prime Minister Harper and then reelected in 2011, 14, and 18. So just very pleased that that I've represented Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes for the last 12 years. And I asked for people's support at the polls on June 2nd. I want to continue to work hard and get results for the riding.
And in the last government, you served as Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing. That was your first cabinet position. What was that like for you?
Well, you know, the 4 years went very quickly, but there was a lot that the ministry accomplished. We were able to protect vulnerable Ontarians in a variety of ways. We reduced red tape for our municipal partners. We built healthier and safer communities, and we supported Ontarians through the pandemic. So the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing really punched above its weight over the last 4 years. And just pleased that I was able to serve Premier Ford as his Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing.
Well, and we'll get into that in a little bit more detail as our conversation unfolds here. I want to, first off, thank you for running. It takes a lot for a candidate to step forward and to throw their hat in the ring. And this is something that you've done numerous times. First time you ran was for mayor of Brockville, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I ran for mayor of Brockville just when I just graduated from university, came back, would have been the fall of 1982, and ran for mayor, was mayor from that election. I decided not to seek re-election in 1991. My son and daughter were pretty young then, and I wanted to spend some time as dad. So I got working in the media. I worked for the Brockville Recorder and Times for a variety of divisions, including their internet division, and worked for Bob Runciman for 3 years. And then just prior to my election in 2010, I was the chief administrative officer at the Township of Leeds and the Thousand Islands. So I've had both the private and public sector experience that I brought to my job as MPP.
Now, you've been an MPP for a while. If you weren't doing this today, what would you be doing? What would you like to be doing?
Well, I think service to the community and to the riding is the most important thing that drives me. And I really enjoyed working with my predecessor, Bob Runciman, really connected my interest in serving at the provincial level. And at the province, you can really invoke change that affects people's lives positively. But I did enjoy being CAO just prior to my election. It was something that I really enjoyed. Obviously, I've got some experience in municipal government, but just anything that betters the people in Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes. So if I wasn't doing what I was doing now, I would still be serving the community and still trying to make it a better place to be.
Let's get into it a little bit more here now, sir. What would you consider to be the most pressing issue facing residents in your riding today?
Well, yeah, you know, I think for too long we heard from opposition politicians that they wanted to complain. Things got delayed. Just, you know, it was difficult getting things done. And the one thing that I'm really proud of over the last 4 years is we were able to move forward a number of issues that the previous government had really forgotten about in terms of rural Ontario. And now our focus as a government, really, we have to rebuild our economy because of the 2 years under COVID-19. We need to continue to build highways and key infrastructure, and key infrastructure also includes better broadband. We've really decided that working for workers needs to be a priority, and we've delivered on that key component of our platform. And then at the end of the day, it's all about trying to keep costs down, trying to put more money back in people's pockets. And I think one of the most important things we can do as a government, and I can do as an MPP for my constituents, is we have to have that plan to stay open. We've got to be able to rebuild our economy, and businesses and individuals have been hit really hard over the last couple of years. So staying open and having a good plan to stay open, I think, is very important.
Do you put that above affordability? Because we've heard from listeners quite often that, you know, struggling to make ends meet. You mentioned that as part of as part of the plan. But do you put, you know, staying open ahead of affordability when it comes to things like the price of gas, food, and housing?
Yeah, no. I think all five priorities are important. Obviously, keeping costs down, given the fact that we're in record inflation. We haven't seen this level since the early 80s. So we need to keep costs down, and we've got a good plan. You know, we've already put money back in people's pockets regarding the elimination of the stickers. Our party's committed that we're going to lower gas prices by 5.7 cents on July 1st. And we're going to continue to work diligently to keep costs down. So absolutely, ensuring that people can keep some of their hard-earned money as opposed to giving it to government. The premier has been very open that government doesn't do the job in terms of being able to spend taxpayers' dollars as much as the choices that the individuals make themselves. So I think all five are important. Obviously, keeping costs down is something that's extremely important to people, given the inflation rates that we've seen, not just in Ontario, but all across Canada and around the world.
Exactly, because and it's very important that we say that, and that's how I was going to preface my next question to you, was that, you know, over the past 4 years, and particularly in the past three, we've seen the price of housing just rise incredibly. But it's not under a progressive conservative government. It's under, you know, the stress of the world, because we have seen these housing prices rise clear across the country, with the exception of some pockets. But certainly places like BC, Alberta, Ontario have seen the prices go up. What have you done in the past 4 years, especially as the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, to help fight that, to help bring the cost of housing down? If people were to reelect you, what could they look forward to? You've said putting money back in our pockets, but how would you do that when it comes to housing?
Well, we've right from the first day, Bob, we were in the legislature, we chose increasing housing supply as a major priority for the government. You're right, their housing issues are in every province and territory in the country. And it's a complex problem. It's not only one level of government's problem. All three levels of government need to work together. This is a complex problem, and it needs all three levels of government working together. But we've increased housing supply. We're at a situation in Ontario last year where we had over 100,000 housing starts, the most that we've seen since the mid-80s. Rental starts as well, because of some of our policy changes, have been the highest rental starts we've seen in 30 years. You and I have talked about some of the numbers in Lanark and Leeds and Grenville on previous shows. But support throughout the pandemic, we've supported Ontarians. You know, we froze rent in 2021. We paused evictions in 2020, 2021. We've spent over $1.2 billion to our municipal partners to invest through the Social Services Relief Fund. We've introduced not one, but two pieces of legislation to address Ontario's housing crisis. And I've committed our government that every year in a reelected Doug Ford government, we're going to have a housing supply action plan bill tabled in the legislature. And we're going to continue to work, not just in community housing, as we've done, by creating more supportive housing units and more housing units on unused government land. But we need to support innovative models, things like tiny homes, which we've done, laneway homes, which we've implemented. It's something that with the lens of increasing housing supply and providing affordable opportunities for Ontarians, we have to continue to work with municipalities. We need to work with the federal government. And we need to get our fair share. You know, we're being shortchanged about $490 million by the federal government based on our core housing need. And you know, literally that request is sitting on the federal minister's desk. And we want to see them step up and support us financially. And then that in turn, Bob, will be given to our municipal partners, and they can start implementing some of those programs on the ground. So it's a complex problem. We've gone at it pretty hard, and we're going to continue to prioritize housing affordability and affordable housing construction in a new mandate.
Now, when you look at specifically the issue that you've had with municipalities, and that's something that I do believe you brought up with me on two different occasions, how do you get that communication flowing so that everybody's on the same page? We know that they've had some concerns with, you know, when it comes to lower income housing needing to be located near mass transportation. But if you don't have that, it poses quite a challenge. So where are you, or where were you when the government rose? Where were you on creating that better communication that you talk about with the municipalities?
We had a housing affordability task force, which really tabled a bold report. In fact, many municipalities, including a number in Lanark and Leeds and Grenville, have indicated that it was just a little too bold for them. They wanted us to slow down and have a little bit of a conversation with them about how we can move forward. We're still committed to using the housing affordability task force as our long-term roadmap to increase housing supply. And in addition, we're going to sit down with municipalities this summer and talk about how we can intensify within communities to create that concept of a multi-generational community. So we're going to engage municipalities as well. You know, and I mentioned this, I think, on the last show, you know, the mayor of Westport, Robin Jones, she's head of the Rural Ontario Municipal Association, or ROMA, as we call it. And ROMA has been out talking to their members and interested parties about how we can create this rural housing strategy that looks at the housing supply problem with solely a rural lens. And I really think that's going to be an important report that we'll be able to work with Ontario's 444 municipalities to try to implement something that isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. What's good in rural Ontario might not be workable in urban Ontario, and vice versa. And then if you look at northern Ontario, there are, you know, unique challenges there for construction that I think need to be taken into consideration. So it's a, you know, we're going to hit the ground running after June 2nd if we're reelected as a government. And we've got a lot of initiatives that we're working on right now that I think will benefit communities right across the province.
Now, you've done this with the issues that we've talked about so far, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to take a couple planks out of the platform and sort of bring them down to the local level. Maybe some things that people didn't think about or aren't really top of mind, but that will benefit the people of Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes. What do you have?
Well, no, I've been a real champion in terms of our health care locally. When I, my first day in the legislature, I stood up against the former government with nursing cuts. We had 15 nurses fired and 17 beds closed at the Brockville General Hospital. And since that day, I really drilled down to how can I improve healthcare and the lives of people that in the riding I represent. And really, it came down to the fact that the previous government had a biased funding formula that really ensured that small and medium-sized hospitals like Kempville, Brockville, Persimmons Falls were not getting their share of dollars. And the end result was, like in Brockville's case in 2010, where nurses ended up losing their jobs. And I vowed that if we became government, that I would fix that. And I did, so that we would never have to worry about this funding crisis again. So we've brought in extra dollars. We've been able to build upon services. We've been able to add new services, like the recent announcement I made in Brockville and Persimmons Falls that they'll both get new MRIs, that the Kempville Hospital will get a new CT scan. So all of those things build upon the success of fixing the funding formula, making sure that the working capital deficit that hospitals had are renewed. And at the end of the day, that allows them to hire more nurses, to hire more docs, to deal with some of these other issues that are coming out through the campaign. But what we had to do first as a government was fix this formula, and I delivered it very early on in the term. So as well, job creation, I think we all agree that one of the best indicators is to provide jobs and opportunity. And we've done that in the riding. You know, to have a global pandemic and to have us be able to announce the new N95 respirator plant in Brockville, with 3M, the increased capacity of the $75 million project with Greenfield Global in Johnstown. We've got now Biscuit Leclerc going into the empty Procter & Gamble property. There's so many opportunities out there. And then we've got a number of public sector projects that I think are real game changers. We've got County Road 43 in North Granville. I, you know, unlike some of my colleagues, I support the correctional improvements that are coming in Brockville and North Granville. Some of the projects like the Brockville ones I've been talking about the entire time that I've been an MPP. So, you know, those are good jobs. And I think there is some spinoff opportunities in those communities. So it's, you know, it's a positive. And then finally, Bob, you know, the work we've been able to do at the Kemple campus, I think to overturn some of the devastation that the Liberal government provided us at the Kemple campus, and the fact that we've got skilled trades back there in a big way, which is something that I committed to 8 years ago when the previous government shuttered the campus. And we've got now real good opportunities for young people, whether it be at that campus or be it through facilities like St. Lawrence College that now under our government will be able to provide those three-year degrees. There's a lot of good things happening, and I'm excited about the future for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes.
You talk about a lot of cash injection and money going to different places. One question that we get quite often is how would your government make up for, you know, removing the license plate sticker fees that are there? That's a lot of money. So is there a new fee that we can expect under a progressive conservative government to make up that difference that you're going to be facing?
No, I think at the end of the day, that decision was all about putting money back into people's pockets. You know, I'd rather it be in their pocket so that they can spend it and put it in the economy. And it's not, you know, it's not like a municipal budget where you've got a line item for revenue and a line item for expense. You know, the government, I've been on Treasury Board, and you know, the revenue, you know, governments never seem to have a revenue problem. Previous governments seem to have a spending problem. So I'm not concerned at all about putting that money back into people's pockets. In fact, if anything, I want to try to put more money back into people's pockets.
When it comes to June 2nd, what makes you the best candidate in Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, Rideau Lakes?
Well, I work hard and I get results for the riding, and I'm going to continue to work hard under the leadership of Premier Ford. We've committed to Ontarians that we're the party that's going to get it done. We're the party that's saying yes to rebuilding the economy, yes to building highways and key infrastructure, yes to support working for workers, yes to put money back into people's pockets, and yes to have our plan to stay open. So I'm excited to be part of Premier Ford's team. I work hard for my constituents, and I ask them to support me on June 2nd by voting for Steve Clark to continue to be your MPP.
And I take it that's what you'd like to leave our listeners with as they reflect upon our conversation that we've had today.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bob. And just again, thanks for all the great information you've provided over the last 2 years. This has been an unprecedented situation. And I just want to thank you and everybody at Lake 88 for the great job that you do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. And it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Our guest today on In Focus, Steve Clark. He is the Ontario Progressive Conservative candidate for the riding of Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.